11th chapter of the book of Proverbs. I'm going to read the last two verses of that chapter, verses 30 and 31. Proverbs chapter 11, verses 30 through 31. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Shall we read together in unison? The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Behold, the righteous shall be recompensed in the earth, much more the wicked and the sinner. Amen. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we just come to you this morning, Lord, just to say thank you for all that you've done for us, Lord. Thank you for just allowing us to come into your house one more time to lift up and magnify and praise your holy name, Lord. And right now, Father, as we go into this hour where we break the bread of life, Father, let your word touch your people in a unique in a mighty way, Lord. You know where your people stand, Lord. You know what your people need to hear this morning, Lord. And I just praise you that you said your word will not return to you void, but that it will accomplish the very thing that you sent it out to do, Father. I just ask, Lord, that you just fill me now with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Enable me to break the bread of life to your people right now, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Let somebody say amen. To our senior pastor, Pastor Barnwell, and to our associate minister, Minister Keith Barnwell, and to all the people that are in the house this morning. Good morning, praise the Lord. You know, in 2010, it's time for us to become a kingdom-minded people. While the fundraisers are nice and they're important and they're necessary, and seen after the administrative matters of the church as part of our stewardship and ensuring that we meet the needs of the members of our congregation as our duty, we have to realize that we are called to a much larger purpose. 95% of the Christians in the United States of America have never led another person to Christ. 95% of the Christians in the United States have never led another person to Christ. That's something that should make us so uncomfortable that we do something about it. Because if you and I aren't busy fulfilling the mission that Jesus created the church for in the first place, then what are we doing? Where are we going? And what is it that's keeping us so busy? See, the first order of business that Jesus gave his followers in Mark chapter 1 was to become fishers of men. And the last order of business he gave his disciples in the first chapter of Acts was to go into all the world and be witnesses. So that should say to us that everything we do, everything we have going on within the church should start and end with winning souls to Christ.
All right.
Amen. See, as we examine the verses of today's text, we'll see the emphasis that's placed on bringing souls into the kingdom. We'll see that we're called to proclaim the gospel, we're called to produce fruit, we're called to perpetuate the soul winning process, because there's a payday coming. So let's just jump right into point number one. We're called to proclaim the gospel. The only way that lost souls come to repentance is for you and I to proclaim the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. You and I have been redeemed by the shed blood of Jesus on Calvary. We've been rescued from the kingdom of darkness and translated into the kingdom of light. We've been saved from eternity without Christ, and we've been given the gift of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. And that happened, the only way that happened is because someone took the time to share Christ with us. So it's time for us to go do the same thing. There's another statistic that said of the 6.3 billion people living on planet Earth right now, 2/3 of them had never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. I mean, how could they? 95% of us never attempt to share it with anybody. See, the gospel's good news. And we're usually not so shy about sharing good news. Now, when Minister Barnwell accepted his call in the ministry and preached his first sermon, that was good news. And we shared that with everybody. When Amber came home from the hospital after 3 months, that was good news. And we shared that with everybody. When you caught that great sale at the store yesterday, that was good news. And you shared that with people. Some of you even shared it before you left the store. Hey, you better get down here. There's a sale going on. Anytime you hit the number, you consider that good news. And you share that with people. The only reason you don't share is because you don't want to deal with all the people looking for handouts. You got some number players in the house. That's all right. But see, for the most part, when something good happens to us, we want people to know about it. But when we accept Jesus and his gift of salvation and his gift of eternal life, for some reason, that isn't so newsworthy. Does that confuse anybody but me? See, we must proclaim the gospel and share our faith and the reason for our hope to a lost and dying world. To be kingdom-minded people, we must keep that at the forefront of all that we do. I mean, when was the last time you even mentioned Jesus to somebody that you knew was lost? When was the last time you just passed out a tract to somebody? Outside of some special service we're having here, when was the last time you just invited somebody to church? If you and I, as members of the body of Christ, aren't out there busy sharing our faith and reaching others for Christ, just who is it that we expect to do that work? We've got a relationship with the most amazing person that ever lived, and we want to cover it up. That makes no sense at all. Why do we try to hide the fact that we have a relationship with Jesus? 2 Corinthians 4:3 says that if we hide our gospel, we're hiding it from those that are lost, the very people that need to hear it. Can you imagine being sick, going to the doctor, having the doctor correctly diagnose your ailment, have the prescription, know what to give you, and he won't give you the medicine? That's exactly what we do when we fail to share our faith in Jesus Christ with others. So you and I must begin to more actively share our faith with others. We must proclaim the gospel, because when we do that, it results in the fact that we produce and bear fruit. See, our responsibility to the kingdom is twofold. Not only are we to win souls for Christ, we're to teach them how to go and become soul winners themselves. See, the key for growing the church and expanding the kingdom is to bring other people into it. Pam told me a story the other day that reminded me of a technique that salespeople use. They use something called an elevator pitch. What an elevator pitch is, it's a 10 to 20 second sales pitch that can be given to a potential customer during a short elevator ride. So when you think about how long you're in an elevator, is usually not very long. You don't have time to get into any real heavy, deep conversation or make any kind of elaborate presentation. So they employ the sale tactic that's quick, concise, and summarizes the benefits of the product or service they want to sell, so they can generate enough interest for a follow-up meeting later. So Pam's leaving work the other day. That's a good statement. Pam's leaving work the other day. Pam's leaving work the other day. This lady gets on the elevator and says, "You have a beautiful smile." Which she does. Pam says, "Thank you." Then the lady immediately says, "Did you know that Jesus Christ loves you?" Well, if Pam wasn't already in the kingdom, that would have been a tremendous icebreaker that could have started a conversation that could have led her to accept Christ. That's how we begin to plant the seeds that bear fruit. That was this lady's elevator pitch. It planted the seeds that could have generated a deeper discussion later. Now, of course, when we share our faith, they're always not going to be met with a positive response. But we got to keep at it. We got to keep planting the seeds, and eventually there will be a harvest that produces more fruit. That leads us to, we must perpetuate the soul winning process. See, when we keep planting seeds that bear fruit, we produce even more fruit. See, that's why our text says the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. The most common thing people understand about fruit is that it grows on trees. But see, our text doesn't say that. Our text says that our fruit is the tree. So what does that mean? See, while we can generate thousands of dollars for the church, we can go build a great, big, beautiful church building, we can feed the hungry, we can do all these wonderful things, the only thing that we can do that produces more fruit is winning souls and having them in turn become soul winners. So let's think about that for a minute. Having great financial resources at our disposal, while it's a blessing, that can only be used to go buy things. See, building a nice, new, luxurious, opulent church building would be great to have, but the only thing we can do in there is hold worship services and some other activities. See, opening a food pantry, which we actually have here, by the way, now, is good, but we can only use that to provide a meal for somebody. See, all those things are important, they're good, and we ought to do more of them. However, it's the work of bringing souls into the kingdom so they can produce more fruit that matters. That's the only thing that we can do that really matters. Why? Because our bank accounts can't lead another person to Christ. The church building can't lead another person to Christ. The food pantry can't lead another person to Christ. Only the people that we lead to Christ can lead other people to Christ. Our fruit is the tree of life because bank accounts have no life. Buildings have no life. Food pantries have no life. And by producing more life, our fruit begins growing the tree. Here's an example. So say Deacon Todd tomorrow leads somebody to Christ. And one day that person leads two more people. Then that person leads three more. And then one of those people leads another person. As that cycle continues to perpetuate and produce, that's how we begin to make a real difference. We begin to win souls just like an army wins a territory. Because remember, we're in a spiritual battle with the forces of darkness. Well, what is it that we're fighting for? We're fighting for the souls of lost men and women and boys and girls. And when we win that battle, we win those souls and we produce more fruit. So when our text says the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, that's what it's referring to. It's referring to our fruit-bearing trees to produce more fruit-bearing trees. However, none of this happens without us actively proclaiming the gospel and sharing our faith and teaching people how to go out and win souls and bear fruit. We've got to perpetuate the process because a payday is coming. What do we mean by paydays coming? Verse 31 says, the righteous will be recompensed in the earth. Recompense means recompensated or paid back. See, the verse goes on to say that since the righteous will be paid back, the wicked and the sinner will be paid back even more. So regardless of which side of the cross you're on, you will get paid. You will get paid. See, as we go about bearing fruit, we have to recall the words of Jesus in John 15 when he says that he's the vine and we're the branches. If we abide in him and he in us, we can indeed bear much fruit. He said that every branch that bears fruit is purged and pruned so they can bear even more fruit. However, those that do not abide in him, that are wicked and sinners, they do not bear fruit. And they're cut off, and they're cast into the fire, and they're burned. That's their payday. So even if we become dynamic soul winners for the kingdom, and we lead multitudes of people to the Lord, we can't get caught up in all that because we can't get caught up in taking the credit for that, for any fruit that we produce, because Jesus says without him, we can't do anything. We've got to understand the relationship that we have as branches to the vine. See, the thing about vines is that a vine can survive without a branch, but a branch can't survive without a vine. The source of life for the branch is the vine upon which it hangs. So before we get any further into 2010, we need to focus on what our larger purpose is. See, we put it in your bulletin every single week. I don't know how many people ever read it, but it states in there that our purpose is to lead people to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. And after that happens, our responsibility is to teach them His message and help them conform to His principles so we can enable them to serve their community and lead others to Christ. So that's the proclamation, that's the producing, and that's the perpetuating cycle in which we all have to participate. We got to get busy. We have to get busy. There are opportunities all around us. There are lost people on their way to eternity separated without God all around us. And we got the answer they need. But we can't sit around anymore being part of that 95% that never shares their faith. We must bear fruit. Again, the first thing that Jesus told His followers is that they had to become fishers of men. And the last thing He told His followers is that they would be witnesses to Him all over the world. When mankind was created, the first command He gave mankind was to be fruitful and to multiply. Not just to bear fruit, but to keep on producing it. That's what this message is all about this morning. So I challenge every Christian in this room right now, before we come back into this place next Sunday morning, to share your faith with at least one person that you know is lost. If you're serious about being kingdom-minded in 2010 and bearing fruit, the Lord's going to place somebody in your path that does not know Him, who will benefit from your testimony. But before you can bear fruit and lead anybody to Christ, you need to come to Him yourself. Which you can do right now, because this is a point of the service where we extend an invitation of discipleship to you. If you've never personally accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can come do that right now. If you have accepted Christ, but you're not a member of the Lily Baptist Church, and you want to join up with us here to help us carry out the purpose for which God has called us to, we extend that invitation to you right now as well.